and a very good morning to you all. It's Morning Focus here with you until noon. Thank you very much for your compliments that many of you have sent in with regards to our work, and in particular Fiona's work on Lister Invernahyle. We will hear more both tomorrow and on Friday as well. We've heard this morning from some of those seeking asylum in Ireland. We will also hear later in the week from some of those from Lister Invernahyle who are working to welcome those individuals to their community, and more from the centre as well on tomorrow morning's programme. So be sure to join us across the week here on Clare FM's Morning Focus. Still to come in this hour, we'll return to the smoking ban, which has also got you talking this morning, and plenty more besides. But I wanted to move on to a different matter now. And from Newquay and living in Ennis, John Conroy is to lead a group from Clare on a humanitarian mission to Uganda this summer. The group will assist in a project to restore a special needs school, and will also work with the group Hospice Jinja. We've heard about them on the programme before. It was set up by local doctors Frank and Patricia Hassett, and, as you're about to hear, is treating thousands of people a year in Uganda. Fundraising efforts are ongoing for their trip, including a walk and run which takes place in Bearfield this coming Sunday. Frank Landy from the Rowan Tree, who you'll know from the afternoon show with Brian, he's part of the group that are travelling. Catherine Ryan went last year. She's with the local sports partnership. We'll hear from both of them in a moment. But when the trio joined me earlier this week, John Conroy first began by outlining his long record of making trips like this to Africa, and in particular to Uganda.
My first volunteer trip to Africa was in 2007, where I was based in Moshi, and it followed on in 2008 then to Ghana, where I was based in Accra for a number of weeks. 2009 was my first trip into Uganda as a volunteer. Oh, I heard about the volunteer projects in Uganda was through the Hassetts, Frank and Patricia. They had set up a hospice in 2005, but the main aim of the hospice was to deal with end-stage HIV and all cancer patients. And it's 13 years in existence now. And in that time, there's been 150,000 patients and families who have availed of the hospice.
150,000, Gavin. Incredible.
Yeah, it's an astronomical figure. And say, in each week, there's roughly about 150 people avail of the hospice. And it's really the budget on a shoestring. For a patient to see the hospice, it's costing the hospice about €100 per year. So it's very, very, very low budget hospice. Over the years, there's been, I suppose, many changes within the hospice, and it's led now to 17 staff being employed, and all the staff are local. The coordinator, two drivers, there's nurses and doctors based in the hospice.
Talk to me about the physical hospice, because when you say a hospice, we'll think of Milford or Caracalla, of course, here in Ennis, but this is a very different model of care.
Yeah, I suppose a rundown on the hospice would be, the hospice staff would meet at 8 in the morning and they meet in a clinic. Now, a clinic is four walls and one office, nothing more there, very, very basic. So the team divide up then into two teams. Two jeeps travel out on daily home care visits, they're called, to treat people for cancer and AIDS. And it's the most extreme form of cancer you see, because there's a lot of lack of education there. There's a lot of ignorance as to what cancer is. So the tumours you see, they're massive. It's hard to imagine what kind of a scale that the tumours are on.
Okay.
For anybody who's been there, and especially for last year's volunteers who had the pleasure of going on one of the trips with the hospice team, it was a life-changing experience. Just to call to the homes of the people who have cancer and AIDS, see the living condition. People are living in chronic poverty. They're living in rags. It's abject poverty. Housing conditions are terrible. The average size of a home would be, say, like our sitting room. Straw roof, and it's just mud around in a circle. Mm. Even the floor itself, there's no ground on the floor. It's people sleep on the ground. People, materialistic wise, people may have a bench. They may have a mat to sleep on if they're lucky. They may have a hole to dig in the garden. They may have a few watering cans to go to the well. That's all the people physically have, materialistic wise. And the welcome and the joy you get from people when you go on the home care visits is second to none. Okay. They're just such a gracious and kind people.
I was going to ask you why, or what about it brings you back, because as you've outlined already, you've made several trips to this part of the world, and in particular to Uganda over the past while. Is it a mixture of the fact that the people are in need and also that joy that you mentioned?
When you go as a volunteer to a country, you see daily life with people. As a tourist, you kind of skirmish on the top a little bit.
Sure, yeah.
But as a volunteer, you get deep in, and it is the people themselves. It's the love you have for the people. And I suppose, especially, it's probably a hard thing, but the kids are just immense. The kids are amazing there. And there's so many ways you feel sorry for the children, because it's got the youngest population in the world. There's a 40 million population in Uganda, and half that population are under 14. So it's 20 million kids under the age of 14 in Uganda. And for the great majority of the kids, the education system is quite poor. There's a number of factors involved in that. One is school fees have to be paid, and families in Uganda are quite large, so it's not possible for every child to go to school. Classroom sizes are huge, 60, 70, 80, 90. It could be 100 kids in a class with one teacher. Oftentimes, teachers coming through the system, they're not very qualified in what they're doing. Kids then, through lack of hunger, go to school hungry. And another huge problem as well is that most kids don't even have one copybook on. Again, through lack of funds and lack of money.
We want to get to Catherine to Frank as well, but you mentioned the kids, and I suppose we should point out that the fundraising that's ongoing at the moment ahead of a trip this summer is for the hospice that we've talked about, but also for another group who are working with some of those children in Uganda.
Yeah, there's two charities, Gavin. One is Hospice Jinja, and the other one then is Soft Power Education. They're a British NGO that were founded in 1999. And their main areas are in around the area of education. They have two preschools, and they take in about 180 kids per year. Now, they provide a free service. Those kids are kids most in need. Mm. Those kids can't pay for school, and so they provide an education for those kids. Now, these kids are fantastic. They're tiny little kids, and they're just a ball of energy. The other area then, which we're going to be working on as we return in the summer, is the special needs area. They have about 180 children with special needs there. And the software provide free physios, free occupational therapists, school learning teachers, and also some matrons as well to coordinate within the schools. One of the schools where we're fundraising for this year is called Walukuba. And that's got 70 special needs kids within the school. Vast majority of them are deaf children. I suppose for myself, they're probably one of the most special and amazing kids I've ever met. They're fantastic. Mm-hmm. Also within the school, there's cerebral palsy and autism kids as well.
So they're desperate need, basically.
Absolute desperate need. Yeah, any of the work we get in here, it's goes straight to the ground, and it's to help those in most need.
We'll get onto that in a second, but as I say, other guests here with us too, Catherine, Ryan, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And thanks very much for joining us. You were in Uganda as well last year. What struck you about your trip, or what's your takeaway from it?
Well, one thing for sure is I'll definitely be back. Unfortunately, not this year, but it was an amazing experience. John had been at me for a while to go, and I was in talking with you actually the year before last. I had cancer, so yeah. I thought as a payback, I guess, that I would go on this trip. Now, I hadn't really factored in going out on the hospice. I didn't realise it was going to be an option last year. But we had all volunteered in the special needs school. And as John said, it was just amazing. The children are fantastic, and you just want to bring them all home. But the real eye-opener for me was the day I spent with Dr. Patricia out in the hospice. And it really drove home to me. I know people complain about our health service here, but when you see people, as John said, I mean, I grew up in Clooney. Our cows were brought up in better accommodation than the families out there are brought up in. And going into people's homes, seeing tumours that, like, I was going in and out to the oncology unit in Limerick.
Yes, yeah.
Everybody has their privacy and dignity. They do not have that in Uganda. And what I saw was just, it would break your heart, absolutely break your heart.
Just because the people are so apparently sick, is it?
So apparently sick. And Frank had said to me, when you go into somebody's house, you know, ask as you're leaving if they'd like to have their picture taken, just by holding up the camera. So one particular lady, I suppose, will stay with me for the rest of my day. disease because she had breast cancer and that's what I had been treated for. But just as we were about to leave, the doctress had left and Patricia had left, and I just held up the camera in front of her and she nodded that it was okay for me to take her picture. So I took her picture and I was just about to turn and leave, and she patted my hand and called me back, and she opened up her, she was wearing a dress with a zip down the front, and she opened it up for me to take a picture of the tumour on her breast. And I took it and left, and I was just so shook for the rest of the day because I thought, if I didn't have the treatment that I had here, that's maybe the way I would have ended up. And I just felt, you know, so lucky, in a way. And another thing that I saw when I was out in the hospice, as we approached, Trisha used to give us a lowdown on the patients that we were going to visit and what was wrong with them, their ages, etc. And we went into one lady's house. Again, nothing in the house. She was lying on the floor and she was actually pulling herself along the floor. As we got to the house, Patricia said to me, you know, there's obviously a little bit of money here because there was electricity going into the hut and there was two rooms in it. So Patricia brought the lady in to examine her in another room and came back out. And she said to me that, well, she said this to me afterwards, obviously, that the lady had had breast cancer, but now they thought it had gone to her bones. But she had been treated for the breast cancer, and Patricia asked through the interpreter would they be able to afford an x-ray, and she got the reply back that because of her children and whatever circumstances that they were living in, that they would be able to provide the x-ray for her. So going back in the Jeep, I questioned the cost of an x-ray, and it was 36,000 Ugandan dollars, which sounds like a lot of money, but it's €8. I wanted to run back and give it to
them.
But obviously, if you, as Patricia said to me, if you start doing that, where do you stop? But excuse me, I just couldn't believe €8, and it was such a struggle for them to have an x-ray.
For something that's so important.
Absolutely, and so basic to us.
It changed your perception of home.
Of course, you couldn't but go out there and come back more grateful for what you have. It's a complete eye-opener, and I really would, if there's anybody out there thinking about doing it, and John is the best leader you could have out there. He really is super, and he has all the ins and outs of how to get about, but I would recommend it to absolutely anybody. It was a life-changing experience, and as I said, I will be back.
And one of those who is going this year, Frank Landy, who you'll know from his regular slots of Brian, Frank, of course, cooking on the Rowan Tree down the road from us here. Good morning to you, Frank,
morning,
and thanks for joining us. You're going this year, you haven't been
I've been friends with John for many years, and we started off giving him old Dora Burfield jerseys and old Clare jerseys and Arsenal Man United jerseys, and he'd come back and he'd show us the pictures of the kids with the jerseys on, and to this day some of those pictures they resonate with me, because if you think about it, they have nothing, they have bare feet, they have dirty pants, yet they have a beautiful yellow and blue Clare jersey on it. It's just amazing. It lights up your whole aura. And I just felt that, you know, the time had come just for me to help out. And I wanted to know that we have all donated charities before, but the reason I'm supportive of John is the fact that I like to do the Michael O'Leary on it. I like to know where every penny's going. I like to know what's happening. If my friends are coming to an event, or if we're doing a coffee morning and they're donating and it's their hard-earned money, I want them to know that, hold on a second, Frank's going out there and Frank's going to make sure that it's done right. And in the modern world, unfortunately, that we live in, charities have become
To be scrutinised.
Charities become a word of disdain, and I think that they have to be scrutinised. And you know, for ourselves, to see what they did last year. Like last year, they were able to put in a stove, buy firewood for the year, put €500 of €500 food for the kids for a year, €500 worth of diesel for Frank's two vans to keep going every month, little things like that. As I said there, we're not going to change Uganda ourselves, but room by room, we've done the kitchen last year, we're going to do at the sensory room this year, room by room. We'll change the school.
And what you're doing, you're paying for your own flights. The money that you're fundraising is going to those
totally,
in need.
Totally, and something we were adamant from the start. And anybody who's listening, who's hoping to come with us next year, do a little bit of fundraising, pay for your own flights, but come along. And I know for a fact from people who've been there, they got a lot more out of it than the Ugandan people. A lot of people who've come home, I've met nurses who were over there 5, 6, 7 years ago, and they still do little coffee mornings. They still do little things for Uganda. Frank and Patricia have a huge following, especially in the parish of Bearfield, that because they know they're good people doing good things. And I think with John, he's a good person doing something good, and it, for us it's very easy to row in behind and to avail of, of what he's doing.
So the invites are there for the future. You're going this summer though, John?
Yeah, going the 19th, 20th of July, Gavin, so I'll be pretty much gone for most of August.
Okay. And are many going in the group, all told?
At present, we have four. We have Frank and Siobhan Landy, Anne-Marie Carpenter, and Anne McMahon. Mm. So the four people are in.
You'd love more, though.
Absolutely love more.
In the future?
Yeah, in the future, as we go forward.
Every year, I think, for the rest of our lives, one way or the other, we'll be involved with Uganda through Hospice Ginger or Software Education. That is a definite. So anybody who's even thinking or inkling, anybody's heart says to them, you know what, this is something I'd like to do, get in contact with us and we'll make sure it's done.
Yeah, I wish you all the very best with it. You're here and you have the airwaves. We are, I suppose, publicising, first of all, the walk and run on Sunday.
Yeah.
I know that yourself,
Frank. Sunday the 29th of April in Bearfield. We have a lovely little family fun day, 6K fun run. It is a fun run. We've buggies, we've face painting, we've a DJ, we've lots of scones and pastries, you know, but it's the community getting behind us, and it is our main fundraiser. Mm. And this fundraiser will determine how much work we can do in the school and how much we can donate to Hospice Ginger. And we really want as many people to come out and support us as possible.
Just a small example, Gavin, of how the money we spent goes so far. Uganda has one of the highest prevalence rates of malaria in the world. So 80,000 children die before they reach the age of 5. And last year, I was in the special needs school. Waluka was special needs school. Walked in the room, and there's a child there. Her name was Immaculate, deaf child. And I looked at her arm, and her arm was littered with spots. And I just pointed at her arm, and she just made a sound like what a fly was.
Yeah.
So what was happening was she was getting bitten by the mosquito, and that was transferring malaria onto the kids. So we got mosquito nets, and they only cost €3 per head. So it just goes to show those mosquito
when
nets
there, you can do change.
Yeah. When in small ways, like when you go there, there's needs everywhere. When you go into the country, you're going, God, what will I do? There's so many needs everywhere. But as Frank was saying, room by room.
Look, we wish you all the very best with it. As you say, travelling in July, and you've got weeks and weeks of work when you're out there as well.
Yeah, and just a huge, we've had massive support, Gavin, since we started, both this year and last year, from individuals, from the businesses in town, from Peter O'Connell, Clare Champion, from the Clare people. And the last few weeks, Shannon Airport have been excellent. They've been supportive of the projects we're doing. They've endorsed it. They have done fantastic PR work as well. So just a huge shout out to all the individuals and businesses that are connected with us.
The walk run that we mentioned is in Bearfield, is coming Sunday. Registration from 10 o'clock in Hassett's, and the event itself starts at 12 o'clock. Dig deep in the day if you're about. Certainly worth going down to. John Conroy, Frank Landy and Catherine Ryan, I wish you all the very best, and thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks Gavin.
Gavin. Thanks very much.
Clare FM's Morning Focus, the voice of the Banner County.